In the overview last Wednesday, I was explaining that there's three focal points that in this series we're looking into, starting there at chapter 1 in the book of Acts. We took some time to realize the scripture does reveal that there are records and books of records about you and I being recorded in heaven. Those scriptures are listed. You can go there on your own and look those up. Tonight I want to get into some of the word or deed. And we did touch on that a little bit. I want to dig just a little deeper on that. We got through the first three verses of Acts last Wednesday. And I want to give just a recap to get us going into the series. The word, the way this is running together, the reason for the title, Book of Acts. The word Acts implies that things took place, activity, things were going on. That's a book of Acts. But it did not happen just because somebody decided to throw a picnic, just because somebody decided to do an activity. It was fueled and engaged and empowered by a very special power known as the Holy Spirit. Until that happened, they were bound. They were called to stay still. It would be like an automobile that stays parked in a driveway until a couple things happen. It needs a driver. But it must also have fuel, because if you turn the key and there's no fuel in the automobile, it doesn't move. So Jesus called out the apostles and said, listen, you're going to become the drivers of the gospel message. I'm putting you into a position to go somewhere and do some things. But you cannot get there to your destination. You cannot complete this unless you use the fuel and the power that I will be giving to you. Remember that it says in Scripture that John the Baptist talked about his baptism, but he said there's one coming that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. That is, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And so we're putting these two things together. If I stood in the church and said, church, I'm calling you to action. Sounds real good. But if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to fuel and put the fire with the action, all we've done is stirred up commotion and activities and committees and groups. And you might get a gathering, but you're not going to get discipleship. You're not going to get commitment. And you're going to create more problems to deal with in the long run. Because if we do it correctly, the power of the Holy Spirit does what we cannot even think about doing when crisis comes up, when situations come up. So we're being called by the book of Acts to pay attention to what the gospel is. The gospel is a moving gospel. It is a motivated gospel fueled by the things of God, given into the hands of His church. And the book of Acts is the recording of how the church, the Holy Spirit-filled church, that's the church I'm talking about, because that's the church the Bible talks about, is when this became the church, it was given in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's begin to look at some things and do some comparison tonight. Look in your Bible, Acts chapter 1, and I want to see if you can notice a similar passage of words here in Acts, and then also over in Colossians 3:17. Let's find it. In Acts chapter 1, I'll begin at verse 1. It says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both, and here's the phrase, all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Acts says Jesus did both things. He was a doer and he was a teacher. What did he teach? He taught of heaven. He taught and was the gospel message. What did he do? His daily life was surrounded with being empowered of the Holy Spirit and doing things that affected people's lives. He touched people. He sat down with people. He was walking beside people. He was not sitting at his home on his couch, lazy boy chair, or his day bed and saying, all I'm going to do is teach from right here. He got up and went. He got up and went. He was on the move. He was doing as much as he was teaching. Now let's flip over to Colossians 3. Keep your place there in Acts. Colossians chapter 3. Just keep your finger. We're going to go back to Acts. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Listen how this reads. And whatever you do in word or deed. Now the phrase is there. Word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This passage of Scripture in Colossians is for the new character and the new man who has been born again in Christ Jesus. We, as the new man born again, are called, whatever we do, meaning that sometimes it's going to be the spoken word, sometimes it's going to be the teaching word, sometimes it's going to be the preached word, sometimes it's going to be the testimony of your words, but whatever you're doing in your word, your witness, and also your deed. Sometimes the deed is your service to the Lord. It's going to be what is your calling is there. What are you called of the Lord to do? What type of a servant are you? How do you serve him? Where's your ministry there? And then when you're out day to day and living, we're doing things to people every day. We're doing things. We're coming up against situations, life. We're coming up against different types of relationships and partnerships, and we're doing activities through the day. All of us do. We go to the grocery store. We go to the gas station. We go to the doctor. We go to jobs. We go visit. We go do these different activities. But everything that we're doing must be, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we're talking about the first thing that we were establishing last week is you need to understand that everything that we are doing in word or deed is being recorded. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing, because the Lord has rewards. But he also has a testing fire that will prove the motivation behind the works and activities that we do. So what we cannot do is get all pumped up and say, oh, the pastor's calling us to action. Tomorrow I'm going to run out and knock on 20 doors. I'm going to call 10 people and make a list. It's okay to do that, but you got to understand the motive and the intent and the purpose of the heart. Is it according to Colossians 3:17 that says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to him. It's not in the name of what the pastor calls you to do or what competition or things like that. So there's something that's missing that has to be in place. It's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the book of Acts was powered by the Holy Spirit. So our words and our deeds, this is where prayer life is coming back together. The scripture said they stayed in the place that God commanded them to stay. We call it in the scriptures, and when we talk about it, we say they tarried until the outpouring came. But in that place where they were, they came to one mind and one accord. Does that mean that they all agreed on every food that they were going to eat together? Every house was going to be built the same way? Every clothing was going to be worn? No, what they came in agreement was, is the word that came to them was, we need to stay put until the power of heaven falls on us. And they all agreed about that. And they got in unison and they said, nobody can leave. Nobody can jump out of this thing. There was no head start. There was nobody that said, you know what, I'm not sticking around here. The gospel's got to go out, so you know I'm going to get a jump on it, and I'm going to go take the first two blocks, and you guys can wait behind if you want. We can't do that as a body of Christ. We have to wait in the place and the same power of the Holy Spirit to move. As anxious as we get sometimes, this is one of the lessons of the book of Acts, because you can read, we love to talk about the powerful things that happened in Acts. Love to talk about it. But if you don't spend time giving credit where the power came from, which is the Holy Spirit, then you're jumping the gun. And so we could motivate everybody in this room to be geared up for revival, you know. But if we're not in prayer of agreement, saying we need the power, we should not pray for revival without praying for the power. We should not pray for witnessing to the community without praying for the power. We should not pray for our loved ones, asking the Lord to help us with them, unless we're praying for God to give the Holy Ghost power to bring those words that need to be said to them, those actions that need to be done unto them, that will win their hearts to the Lord. And we're very anxious. I'm anxious. I want all of my family and extended family. I've got many cousins, aunts and uncles that do not go to church this day. I'm anxious to see them in the house of God. And I've prayed many, many, many prayers for them. But where I'm at right now is I also need to begin to pray, God, I need the Holy Spirit power to be there when we talk to them, when we witness to them, when other people, if you're asking God to send people in their lives, ask God to give those people power of the Holy Spirit while they're there in their lives. And I believe that those things will help us. So we're talking about number one, there's something spiritually that needs to awaken inside of us. I'm not trying to emphasize that the fact that there's records in heaven to try to put you in a place where you say, oh, I need to get busy and do something. But I do want you to understand that your life has a purpose. God put life and purpose within us. The disciples, the apostles, had a purpose. The purpose is about the gospel. The purpose is about having people come and be in the family of God so that we can unite as a family and spend eternity in heaven together. There needs to be some awakening in the church again, so that we understand that there is a call to the book of Acts again. God wants us to be active, but he wants us to be powered in the Holy Spirit to do so. So they go together. All I wanted to point out to you was the very first part, talking of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, it records that all that Jesus began, both, two things, do and teach. Colossians says it to us. Whatever you do, word or deed, same thing. Same thing goes. The other thing that I want to bring out, the scripture tells us from the book of Acts that the things that Jesus did, there is infallible proof of this. What is the thing that makes something infallible? Meaning there's no way to tear it down and say it didn't happen. In a court system today, there's one type of witness that carries the heaviest amount of weight in a courtroom. What kind of witness is it? An eyewitness. Jesus had eyewitness to his birth. Jesus had eyewitness to his ministry. Jesus had multitudes of eyewitnesses of his death. Jesus had eyewitnesses to his resurrection and also his ascension. So when you come against people and you come against ones that want to argue the word and say it doesn't exist, these things did not happen, simply give them one thing to think about and then drop it and let them go. Say, but you cannot erase the eyewitness. History cannot erase eyewitnesses. They can refuse to teach about the eyewitnesses that were there, but the Bible says the things that Jesus both did and taught, there's infallible proof, according to the book of Acts, about everything Jesus did. So that's records. Jesus made sure there was an eyewitness record of every single activity. If it's true that the records in heaven are being recorded of us, think of it this way. If the record is not being told about Jesus, why is that? Our records need to be in heaven. God's going to reveal the record books to us one day. But the records of Jesus come back upon the eyewitness. Now in the New Testament, you and I are called something. We're called the temple of what? Is the Holy Spirit an eyewitness to everything that's ever happened? Was he in Genesis? Is he in Revelations? Is he in every book in between? Is he in the church today? He's our eyewitness. But if the eyewitness lives inside of us, then what is the gospel that we're supposed to do and teach? We become the vessel that says what the eyewitness tells us to say. This is where churches, religion, and ministry, acts of works, miss it. They don't flow with the eyewitness. They come in with their own story. They come into the courtroom and they say, I can convince the crowd. Here's how it happened. But I'm not an eyewitness. If we ever lose the eyewitness of the Holy Spirit in us, we have lost sight of the gospel. Because you have to always have an eyewitness present for it to be an infallible proof. The word is infallible, cannot be torn apart. Christ is never going to be dismantled and dethroned. But we as the church vessel today look at what is happening in the world right now because the eyewitness account is being lost in the vessel who's to be carrying the eyewitness with them. So we need to stay away from arguments. Nobody needs to convince us the gospel. We don't need to argue with anybody. All we need to do is say, but I have an eyewitness. The Holy Spirit is in me. I have an eyewitness. Someone tries to tell you healing is not for today, but I have an eyewitness. Somebody tries to tell you that the blood of Calvary is no longer powerful, but I have an eyewitness. I know that that sounds redundant, but there's power in knowing where the eyewitness is. Don't lose the eyewitness. He is the most important thing to every trial. The judge wants to know who the eyewitness is. He wants to hear the voice of the eyewitness other than hearsay. So we need him. So what I'm emphasizing, instructions by the Holy Spirit, because he's arrested my heart and said, I'm the eyewitness. I've seen it. I was there. I can reveal it. I can teach it. I can counsel you through it. And we need him. And so this call of the book of Acts to be in word and deed for us is a call to listen to the eyewitness. Listen to him. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And while we're turning there, let me give pause so that if you want to say something, you can speak back or speak out to us tonight. So if you have comment, a scripture verse, something that fits with where we're discussing tonight, go ahead and feel free to share.
Some people say that those are records for God, and they're really not. God doesn't need a book to remember anything.
Oh.
Those are books that when we stand before Him, He can open them up to us.
Right.
And they will be the witness against us or for us.
Yes.
They're not for His well-being, they're for our understanding of His justification because
right.
He's a just and true God.
That's the right word to use, just. Because He's going to do the same thing for everybody. And if He only had a book for one or two, He wouldn't be just. So there's books. I absolutely agree with that. God does not have a memory loss problem. He knows this. He is not going to skip a beat when He starts rattling off and telling you how many. There's some fun things in the Bible. I mean, He's going to tell you how many numbers of hair you had in your lifetime. I mean, that could be, you know, some trivia, but He knows it. I mean, there's purpose for that. But it shows how detailed He is about every one of us. Anybody else have a thought or comment? That was good, Brother Rob. So here we are looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to look at verse 12. We touched this one last week, but it goes with where we just came back to about these records. Verse 12 says, if anyone builds on this foundation, what's this foundation? Who is the foundation? Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, so you have, these are the options you're building with. It's going to be gold, could be silver, could be precious stones, could be wood, hay, and straw. Let's just talk practical. If you went shopping, and we could go shopping tonight, and there was a row of gold, a row of silver, a row of precious stones, then there's a row of wood, there's a row of hay, and a row of straw. Where are you headed first for yourself? Who's going straight for the straw? Anybody like gold? Only one person likes gold? So you see what it looks like. Gold is your best. It's not just you being the best. It's your best. What is your best? Your best is submission to the Holy Spirit. That's when you're your best. When humbleness, hunger, and thirsting after righteousness. See, it's not the same type of measuring that we do here. We would give a gold trophy to the winner that showed us the best feature. But we don't evaluate the motive. We don't evaluate the heart condition. We don't evaluate the training program. We award the product of that act. If I said, who can do the best cartwheel, and I'm going to give a gold trophy to that person, we're all going to judge it by how performance of that cartwheel is. God looks different. Remember what He said about David being chosen? Man looks on the outside. We are good at giving gold-plated awards on the outside, but I don't know how good we are about being gold-spirited in our motives. Big difference. Big difference. See, this will drive us to be close to the example of Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, the same way Jesus crawled through a tunnel, that's how we should. If Jesus broke bread with disciples, if Jesus moved with compassion, if Jesus prayed, if Jesus obeyed, you see, these are the things that put gold spirit in us. These are the things that miss many times. And we're all human. We miss it. You're not going to wake up every day and be gold. So then silver, and it goes on down and eventually gets to straw. Which burns the quickest? Straw. Can I tell you my impression of what straw is? Because there was a deed that was done. It's a Christian that did it. It's something in the area of obligation, and I'm just going to throw a sprinkle of myself onto that, but I'm not going to really put my heart into it, my spiritual being into it. Pastor called me to do something I really don't want to, but he asked me, so I'm going to do it. That's not a gold. It's nice that you did it, but your motive has got to go past me. You asked me to do something. If I only react because you ask me, I'm not being gold-spirited towards you. I'm doing my obligation as a minister and a pastor. And so where I have to get is I have to, when that phone call comes, when that person's sick in the hospital, when I go to speak in a different place or I'm doing witnessing or whatever I'm doing, if I fill in the blanks just because it's the role and expectation of a minister, then I'm throwing in a lot of probably hay, straw, wood, and things like that. But if I make an effort in my spirit to say, God, there's no point in me going to the hospital unless the eyewitness comes with me because I don't know what's going on. If I pray for them out of action and habit, it's not a prayer of faith. But if I pray for someone powered of the Holy Spirit, and that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to lay hands on you and do all the things that we do a lot of times in the service. You can be filled, and you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Take time to get the flesh out of the way before you pray for somebody. Turn it into gold before you touch somebody. How are you going to do that? Powered by the Holy Spirit. It's like, I'm going to keep referring to that. The eyewitness has got to go with you. The eyewitness has got to show up in the courtroom. The eyewitness has got to be there during the trial. The eyewitness has got to be there when the sentence comes down. So if we're running and doing all the spiritual, religious activities without any empowering of the Holy Spirit, we've left the eyewitness out. And so read your Bible with an eyewitness account. People say, I can't understand the scripture. Absolutely, the flesh will never get it. So how do you open up a Bible and begin to understand it? You have to be taught by the eyewitness. Pastors preach the gospel. Teachers teach the gospel, and you can gain from that. But you, on your own, in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, is when it's going to impact you to gold and cause your actions and deeds to be something that God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God is not mean. He is fair and just. God has given us His Word. We all go through life the same way. Your tragedy is going to be different than mine. Your hardship is going to be different than mine. But we're all going through these things. The difference is how much gold is being made on the inside of us and how much are we just going to stay in the straw and the hay game. And then you can think of the wood, okay? Somebody's trying to build something. You get some wood together, it starts to structure, you're tacking it up. It's fairly strong. But it's not finished. It's not finished. The church is great. I believe that's the place of the church. We are so good at getting the wood out, getting the hammers in our hands, getting the nails bought. And we go to tapping. We're making noise. We're seeing a structure. And all that stays is wood. And that project falls. We start another one. Tack up a new project. See, I'm not picking on us. I want us to grow. And growing takes books of Acts, powered by the Holy Spirit, understanding who the eyewitness is, knowing what we're supposed to be doing. Is it making sense? Is this doing anything? How many would say that the tried it, been there, done it stuff, I don't want to do no more? I mean, most sitting in this congregation has been down the yellow brick road a time or two. You know, every trick and every thing that can be done, we've tried it. And people get discouraged in that. What's the difference? The eyewitness. The acting part may not be wrong. The going out and knocking on the door might not have been wrong. It wasn't the deed that was wrong. It's who was with you during the deed. The motive behind the deed. So it's a little deep. It's causing us to pay attention. But I wanted to bring up the records because it's about you personally. It's not, you're not going to have a record on me and I'm not going to have a record on you. It's not competition between us. It's the fact that you have to understand God made you. He formed you. He knew you yet while you were in your mother's womb. He had a purpose. He knows the thoughts and intents of your life. He knows what He thinks towards you and the direction of life. And He doesn't want you to sell short because you have the same opportunity as I do to have a lot of gold when it comes to heaven. And remember that it's a foundation of Christ and this word building. See, that was a word that stuck in my spirit a few weeks ago, building. And He kind of launched me into this. Building is simply that. Realize, I'll use a real old expression, Rome wasn't built in a day. We're not going to get to gold in a day. We're going to build on this foundation. Don't go home and be discouraged and say, this Bible study is too hard. Let it wake your spirit up and say, God, me and you together, your Holy Spirit can do something in me that can create gold on the foundation of Jesus. Don't sell yourself short. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say that your life doesn't count. Anybody that ever says that they don't have a place in this church, please help me tell them loud and clear, yes, there is a place for you here. Not one person should feel that they don't belong to the family of God. He wants us together. So let's finish looking at this verse 12. Well, it says it right here. Now, if anyone, that means you can all put your name there. So you should do that. Put your name there. If Aaron builds on this foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my choices, because these are my choices. My choices are gold. My choices are silver. My choices are precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Each one's work. Remember, all that Jesus was doing and teaching, Colossians says, whatever you do in word or deed. Now 1 Corinthians 3:12 says, each one's work will become clear. It does not say the spirit of works, which is a totally different thing, but it talks about the actions. That's the book of Acts for you. That's the book of Acts for me. This is our call to action. Will become clear. Who is it going to become clear to? Just like Brother Rob said, is it going to finally become clear to God what kind of a person you really are? He already knows. But you and I, it's going to become real clear what our life was about. And I'll tell you right now, every one of us are going to bow so face forward to the Lord in surrendering of holiness and realize we've all allowed our days and our hours and our minutes and our weeks, so much of it's going to be wasted. So, I mean, we're all going to be here together, separately, but together. We're going to go through this together. It says, each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it. It's going to be revealed by fire. What is it that's being revealed? It is whatever you did in word or deed, those two things. Jesus was tested by fire. The crucifixion was his test. He was tried. Every good thing that he did, every deed that he did, if it was out of character, not of the motive of the Holy Spirit, not by the eyewitness, not of the obedience of the Father, when he went to Calvary, any fragment of his life that was not right would have not allowed God to raise him from the dead. His resurrection is his testimony that he was gold, 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 gold. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But on that day for me and you, it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Not exactly what you did, but what sort of work it was. In other words, it's not going to be, okay, Brother Rob preached so many sermons, Pastor Aaron preached so many sermons, and you preached none. No, it's not about what you did. It's the sort of work that you did. It's behind. We're not measured by whether or not we participated in every church service. We're measured that when we're there, and when we are doing the deeds and the works of the Holy Spirit and the Lord, what sort of work was it? What was the motivation? Were you building on the foundation of Christ, which is the anointing? Are you building everything on the anointing of God's Word? Or are you taking it out of context and building your own? Are you listening to somebody that's not verifying what they're saying by the Word? Be careful about the voices out there that are building things. If you cannot have it backed up by the Word, and it needs to be backed up by a minimum of two scriptures and suggestively three, and if you can't find three scriptures to agree with the thought, get rid of it. Because the Word confirms. Jesus said that he would manifest himself to us. He's going to confirm the truth of the Word. So we'll finish this up. Going to be revealed by fire. This fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures. That's a good word for the church. Endures. Because it keeps going through the hardships, it keeps going through the disappointments, it keeps going through the good times, through the bad times, it endures. He will receive a reward. Please get it in your spirit that God wants to reward you. God wants to reward you. If anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss. It's your personal loss. God has very special rewards that he wants to give us. It's like your house being filled with your favorite treasures. Fire comes in, burns up your most precious, valuable things. But you, your own self, your body, your physical being is spared. You keep living. But don't you hurt because of the loss you just suffered? I mean, how much loss do you want to have? Doesn't really sound like a good place to have loss. Eternal losses eternal rewards. It says he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. That's the grace of God. He paid the price for sin, yet so as through fire. Then it goes down and says, now we're talking about the eyewitness. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Where's the eyewitness at? He's in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Where is the gold going to come from? When you get a hold of verse 16. It's all about the Holy Spirit in verse 16. And then when you get that verse, go back up and read the gold, the silver, the precious stones again. Because God says, I love you so much that I have created you to be my temple. The temple is the place where God chooses to dwell. Remember the Old Testament? How they had to have the tabernacle, the tent, and all of that, and it traveled with them. And then the Holy of Holies, and God was there. We are the temple. That's how precious you are. I mean, God calls you a temple. And he says, inside that temple, I give my Holy Spirit residence. But what's he talking about? How do we defile? When we drag in the straw in the house of God, when we drag in the hay in the house of God, when we're just bringing hammers and nails and wood in the house of God, nobody's bringing the precious stones, nobody's bringing the silver, nobody's bringing the gold. This is how we defile the temple. And so we get destroyed, and the house of God gets destroyed, because the real holiness of God is known by the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. How does that happen? God can take the deed that we're doing, and we might be using hay, but while we're using hay, we can start praying, God, I really need the Holy Spirit to help me do this right. He can take hay and turn it to gold. He can take straw and turn it to precious stone. See, don't forget God's a miracle working God. Now, what we're going after, the statement that needs to get placed so deep in your heart. Don't answer this question, but let me just put it in a family term. How many children, when you were a child, wanted to really make your mom and dad proud? I mean, you just wanted to hear them say, good job. Good job. I mean, some other people can say it, but when it's the right person that says it, I mean, it's like you just have so much peace. Oh, that felt so good to know that I got that. Have we lost that statement about letting ourselves hear Jesus say at the end? You know, we focus on going to heaven. But you know what's more important than going to heaven is hearing the Lord say, well done. Well done. Because that is your greatest reward in heaven. I mean, loved ones are there. Praise God. We get to see them again. We're going to get to meet Moses and Aaron, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're going to get to sit down and talk about those stories. But every one that is there to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful, enter in and eat of the good of the land. That is what's going to bring all the peace forever in heaven for you and I, is to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm not laying this on the church to say you're not doing anything and you're not doing things right. I'm laying this out because we need to be reminded that there's record books. We need to understand that those record books are keeping us connected to stay humble about our words and our deeds. We have got too loose with our mouths, and we have got too stingy with our deeds. Because life is pushing us, life has hurt us, time is very precious to us, and we're tired. But if I have the opportunity to have gold in my spirit, should I not thrive for that? Should I not have a prayer life that helps me turn things to gold? You should not settle for a pastor that carries hay and straw in his pockets. You should want the gold message preached. And I got a ways to go. I got a ways to go. There's a lot of things that aren't gold right now, not even silver. And I've probably only really got just maybe a handful of precious stones, because I've had a lot of wood, and I've done a lot of things with hay in my hand, a lot of things with straw, because I carry flesh and blood with me just like you do. But the Holy Spirit is with me. I got an eyewitness account. Amen. Got an eyewitness account that will never let me forget how powerful this word is. He's good. Do you realize that this could be and should be the best year for our church? The best year. If we'll get busy building, there'll be so much gold. People come to see the gold, the silver, precious stones. Church, you're very precious. Please, please know that God loves you tonight. Let's go ahead and stand. Next week, we're going to talk about the well done statement. There's places in Scripture that talk about this. It is going to happen for some, and it's not going to happen for others. Lord Jesus, thank you for the eyewitness. The reason why you wouldn't let the apostles out is because they would fall flat without the power of the Holy Spirit. God, you promised an outpouring in the last days. The book of Acts is fueled, empowered. Everything that they did was because of the Holy Spirit. So my prayer as a pastor and as a husband, as a father, as a pawpaw, teach me, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to handle gold and silver and precious stones. Get me out of the hayfield. Get me out of the straw in the lumberyard. And you said it in the next verse down in verse 16. Don't you know? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The eyewitness lives in you. And you've said that you will judge us if we defile that temple. You've called us to holiness. Lord, the thing that I want to see from Easter service is holiness. People to hear the gospel, your message. Lord, I'm praying now for the Holy Spirit to be with us. that every person that comes as a guest and a visitor will not just hear a traditional story, but they'll hear the gospel message preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to go home, meditate and think about the words echoing in our spirit that you will say to us one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How do we make you proud? Can we do great tasks and great things? No. But we can yield our heart and say, "Holy Spirit, use me. God, help me this day to be powered by the Holy Spirit to say and do things that will be gold." In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thanks for letting us have an extra few minutes to practice music tonight. God bless you. Thanks for being here. You're dismissed.